once again, this is Dr. Phil Fernandez, the president of the Institute of Biblical Defense and the pastor of Trinity Bible Fellowship. What I'm going to talk about today is dealing with moral dilemmas. What do you do when two of God's moral commands conflict? How do we explain that? And it even goes on in the Bible, because you have Rahab the harlot. She lied. She bore false witness. She refused to submit to the Canaanite governing authorities, but she did that in order to protect the lives of two innocent Jewish spies. So why does God commend her for breaking those commands if these commands are moral absolutes? And so we're going to look at the different options there. The Hebrew midwives, Pharaoh, issued the decree that the newborn Jewish babies were to be thrown, the firstborn son were to be thrown into the Nile River and killed. And yet they disobeyed. They lied to the Pharaoh about it. And God commends them for that. So how do we explain this with the Christian view of moral values? Now, I'm going to just discuss six different views of moral laws, and then I'll six basic views, and then I'll give you my own particular view. But moral relativism, the idea that there are no moral absolutes, what's right for you is right for me, and doesn't have to be, you know, what's right for me is right for me, doesn't have to be right for you, and vice versa. Well, that's just not biblical. And so if we're going to be Christian ethicists, Christians, experts on what is right and what is wrong, moral relativism is not one of those options. Now, there's other ways to argue against moral relativism. I mean, even moral relativists always argue things like, they say, there's no such thing as right or wrong, therefore you Christians are wrong to try to have your views taught in the public schools. Well, wait a minute, if there's no such thing as right and wrong, Christians are never wrong, leave us alone. So the people who claim there are no moral absolutes make moral absolute judgments as much as or more than anybody else. So moral relativism, you cannot live consistently with it. When you're wronged, you speak out against that. So moral relativism fails. Well, situational ethics, the Joseph Fletcher out of Princeton came up with situational ethics, that love is the only absolute, and so as long as you do things out of love, the right or the wrong will be determined by the situation. And the problem with that is that Joseph Fletcher left love undefined, so that you just do what you think is best in each situation and then you're fine, but love is totally left undefined. And so that's not really a moral absolute at all. It goes right back to moral relativism. Generalism says there are no moral absolutes. There are just very general commands. Now, there's something about that that I'm going to come back to in a little bit. But the Bible does teach that there are some things that are right or wrong for all people at all times and all places. Those are moral absolutes. Those are universal moral laws that apply to all people at all times and all places. So if the Bible teaches that, we've got to acknowledge that, okay? And generalism doesn't allow for that. So the moral absolute positions, there's three main positions. The first one is unqualified absolutism. You find this among the Amish or the Quakers, where moral absolutes are unqualified. You never disobey a moral command, so you never fight an individual. Even if you have to defend your wife from being injured, you would not fight. That would be wrong. So you stay there and do nothing. Well, that's not biblical. God commended Rahab the harlot and the Egyptian midwives, the midwives in Egypt, for lying. So you better defend your family, even if it means striking another to protect your family. And so unqualified absolutism just on its own doesn't work. So then there's conflicting absolutism, which is when two of God's moral commands conflict, you obey the lesser of two evils, and then God forgives you for doing the lesser of two evils. the problem is, if you did the lesser of two evils, would it really be evil? Would you really need forgiveness? And I don't think Rahab the harlot needed to ask for forgiveness. So I think the conflicting absolutism, the lesser of two evils, doesn't really work. So what about graded absolutism? This is a view I used to hold, that there are moral absolutes that apply to all people at all times and all places, but when two of those moral commands conflict, you can't obey both. You do the greater good, and God gives you an exemption. It's not an exception, we're told, from the moral absolutes, but you receive an exemption from having to obey the lesser of the commands, and you do the greater good. So Rahab the harlot did the greater good and saved innocent Jewish lives, the lives of the spies, by receiving an exemption from the lesser good. The problem I have with that is this. Whether you call it an exception or an exemption, if you don't have to do it, it's a moral law that didn't apply to all people at all times and all places. And so here's what my view is called. I'm the only one on the planet that I know of that holds to it. There might be somebody else. But my proposal is this: unqualified minimal absolutism. Unqualified minimal absolutism. What I mean by that is that moral absolutes are unqualified. Moral laws must be obeyed at all times, in all places, by all people. That's unqualified absolutism. However, I think the amount of moral absolutes are a lot less. They're minimal. They're a lot less than what we think. Most of what we think of as moral absolutes, like thou shalt not steal and thou shalt not bear false witness, are probably very general commands that should be taught as absolutes, assuming that your child is going to grow up and have enough common sense to know when they don't apply. So thou shalt not steal is not a moral absolute, but it's a very general command that is almost an absolute. But if your family is starving and you have no other way to feed them other than by stealing a loaf of bread, you steal the loaf of bread. If you have to protect two innocent Jewish spies and the only way to do it is by not submitting to the Canaanite governing authorities and by lying to them and bearing false witness, then you do it. And so what we find is that many of what we call moral absolutes are actually very, very general commands. They're almost absolute, but they're not. If there's an exception from it or you receive an exemption from obeying it, it's not a moral absolute. It's not a universal command. So unqualified minimal absolutism. Now the problem is we don't know what this minimum number of moral absolutes are that are not very general, but they're actually universal moral commands. Well, we know two of them. The two mega moral absolutes are love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two mega absolutes. And from that flows several other moral absolutes. I can't see any exception or exemption to thou shalt not commit adultery. And if it's thou shalt not kill, then there's exemptions from that in order to defend yourself or to defend your loved ones. But if it's unauthorized killing, thou shalt not murder, then that's an absolute. There's no exceptions there because it wasn't authorized by God. But whatever the case is, that there are moral absolutes, but the number is probably a lot less than we actually thought. Many of what we teach as moral absolutes are actually very general commands. So I take generalism, unqualified absolutism, and graded absolutism, the greater good, to come up with my own ethical theory, unqualified minimal absolutism. If that doesn't make sense to you, fine, God bless you. Please don't call me a heretic, but there are moral absolutes. The Bible gives us very good guidance with a lot of very general commands as well as the moral absolutes. But if we're trusting in God through the power of the Holy Spirit and taking direction and guidance from God's Word, we'll know when it's time to obey a greater command and we get an exemption from the lesser command. But then that proves that the lesser command wasn't actually a moral absolute, a universal moral law, because if it was, there would be no exceptions and no exemptions either. Hopefully that'll help you a little bit. If not, no biggie. God loves you, and I love you too. God bless.